Welcome to the Arlington Street Church podcast. Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
Our covenants, our ways of being together in community are always aspirational, crafted with those highest ideals in mind, wearing our Sunday best. Ours, to dwell together in peace, to speak our truths in love, to help one another. It sounds so elegant and so simple. Who wouldn't want all of those things? The common wisdom, though, about covenants is that they get their meaning from being broken. Not because people are trying to break them, but because what we learn in community over time is how different our understandings can be of what behavior defines words we think we all know the meaning of. Words like the small and powerful ones in our covenant: peace, truth, love, help. When we pluck those lofty goals out of the sky or off the page and try to live them to shape our actions, they can collide as we weave through our personal histories and tough experiences and, frankly, our human limitations. Does peace mean avoiding conflict? Does it require us to be nice at the expense of speaking our truth? Does love ask us to avoid the truth for fear of hurting someone, or to risk sharing the truth so we can look at things together from many perspectives? Is help rushing to someone's assistance or coaching them to manage things on their own? All of those things can be true and valid in different times and places, and folks making decisions based on our own always limited perceptions can end up at odds even though we're doing the best we can. Even when we're living the same covenant, speaking what we think is the same language, traveling what we think is an understandable course together. There's an old joke that is often reported as a true news story, perhaps because it has an air of truthiness about it. It's a transcript of a radio communication between a United States naval ship and Canadian authorities just off the coast of Newfoundland. The U.S. ship sights a hindrance ahead, and they radio to the unknown Canadian vessel. "Please divert your course 0.5 degrees to the south to avoid a collision." The Canadian reply is, "Recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision." The U.S. ship says, "This is the captain of a U.S. Navy ship. I say again, divert your course." The Canadian vessel replies, "No, I say again, you divert your course." The U.S. ship shouts back, "This is the aircraft carrier USS Coral Sea. We are a large warship of the U.S. Navy. Divert your course now." The Canadians respond, "This is a lighthouse. Your call." Times of change, especially in congregations, surface misunderstandings as we have to renegotiate, rename who we are and what this community is about. The coastline looks different. We may have been plunging ahead, sure that the course we were on was understood and correct and absolutely the only way, asking anyone in our path to divert course, and end up running nearly aground. In this in-between space that we share, we have to pause and consider the ways we might have been sailing along with unexamined expectations, holding on to stories that were either untrue or maybe only part of the truth. Change requires us to ask ourselves and each other different questions, to name our values and aspirations in new ways, to negotiate shared meaning once again. Amanda Gorman's lyric is true of what we hope for when we join together in covenant. Mourning, we come to mend. Withered, we come to weather. Torn, we come to tend. Battered, we come to better. It's in our moments of misunderstanding that we have an opening for deepening those words' meaning, the meaning of our covenant, the meaning of poetry. By understanding how we see those words differently, how we live them differently. If we keep goodwill alive, we then have the sacred task of negotiating what they mean in this place, for this community, at this time. Not by being right, none of us is, but by staying in conversation. There's another story, also well known, you may have heard it, from the maiden flight of the Concorde about 50 years ago now. No one had ever flown a commercial plane that fast, from the US to Europe in under 4 hours. A few VIPs on the first flight were given the chance to visit the cockpit and discovered that no human was actually keeping the plane on course. Because of its phenomenal speed and the slowness of human reaction time, the course was actually maintained by two computers. The first computer took a course reading every few seconds, and if the plane was off course, instantaneously fed that information to the second computer, which would make the needed correction and confirm the new course. As the computers fed course readings between them, they made a certain sound. One of the passengers noticed that this sound was almost continuous, and he asked a crew member what percentage of the time the plane was off course. The crew member smiled. "About 99% of the time, sir." "And we will land in Paris at 9:03 p.m.," marveled the passenger. "Yes, sir," the crewman replied, "plus or minus 60 seconds or so." Rachel Naomi Remen said of this story, "People put far more friction than this into their own feedback systems. How passionately we want to be right. Imagine a human being telling another that they were wrong every few seconds and getting the defensive response, 'No, I'm not.' You would miss Paris by many miles. You might even miss Europe altogether. Even more important, a human being being wrong 99% of the time might lose heart. Once we stop demanding of ourselves that we be on course all the time, we might begin to look at our mistakes differently. Those who have the courage to offer us honesty, to be our navigators, might even come to be seen as worthy of a certain gratitude, as collaborators in helping us reach our destination. I will add that when this collaboration is truly mutual, we learn how to offer feedback with humility, inviting curiosity and understanding. No one wants to be told they're wrong every few seconds, even if it's true, because we are not computers. Our decisions in community don't have to be split second, and we need time to metabolize feedback and respond. And then to mutually learn a new way to be as we bring our perspectives and experiences together. "No, you divert your course," brings us to sure collision. Poet William Stafford writes, "If you don't know the kind of person I am, and I don't know the kind of person you are, a path that others made will prevail in the world. And following the wrong God home, we may miss our star." If you don't know the kind of person I am, and I don't know the kind of person you are. It was brought to my awareness recently that a clumsy word choice I made extemporaneously in a sermon a few weeks ago made it sound to some folks as if I believed sexual orientation was a choice or a preference. I definitely know better, and I apologize to anyone who felt excluded, misunderstood, or unseen as a result of my ill-chosen words. If you're someone who has been sitting with that hurt, I welcome you to come talk with me. And whether you do or you don't, I will work on being more mindful of my unscripted flourishes. I share this because it was a public mistake and deserves a public apology, but also because I encourage us all to be in conversation with each other as we encounter those things that hit us wrong, that make us wonder, is that what they really meant? Or how could they? Growing in our understanding of different ways of being and knowing grounds us in our shared home of love beyond nice words and into love as a practice of continual growth, change, and forgiveness. The world we live in tells us at every turn we are not enough. It tells us we know more than we do about the kind of person each of us is. It tells us there's a single right way to be and makes us believe that perfection is both desirable and attainable. It sends us following the wrong God home, making our hearts smaller and our world narrower and more rigid, driving us off course if we're not careful. But our home in the spirit is a star that tells us we are always already enough. We are beings made of and made for loving. It asks us to live that love in the midst of a world that wants to deny it. A world that tells us any mistake or misunderstanding is a failure when it's only feedback. When it comes to the truth of our source and destination in love, to the truth of our need for a homecoming to the land of the Spirit, we need an image that can resonate as powerfully as the glossing advertising images of perfection and bliss. We need some version of a living, loving God with strong arms and a warm smell, trembling with love as we're folded in her embrace. Or for Buddhists, sometimes this is described as a homecoming that is climbing into the lap of the Buddha and letting your 10,000 joys and sorrows flow. What would be your image of the being, the essence that could greet you with open arms, no matter how far you have strayed? Whom or what would you have hold you close to remind you of the love that is yours always? The good news I have for you today, my friends, is that when we make the difficult, embarrassing, humbling decision to change course or renegotiate relationships, there are open arms to greet us. No matter how far away we've traveled from home, no matter how cruelly we've turned our backs, no matter how deeply we have doubted it, there, standing at the threshold of that sacred home, is an essence waiting to enfold us, to redeem us in love. That love is not a reward for perfection or righteousness. It has room for each of our ways and for the course we chart together. That is the promise of our universalism. That is our good news. We return to that home in love so that we can act anew out of love, righting the wrongs we've done to others and in the world, not because of an earthly rule or reward, but from a place of deep connection. The lure of the gods of punishing judgment and grueling perfectionism will always be with us. So we have to offer each other constant reminders of that destiny we share, our home in love. So if we offer one another the kindly welcome of imperfection, we create a profoundly different kind of community than the world tells us is possible. We sit in deep reflection through our conflicts. We root ourselves in generous listening. We stay connected, though we may profoundly disagree. We resist the pull off course that makes us miss our star, and instead invite one another into a conspiracy of connection, a gathering of goodness in the form of relationship and understanding, of the faith in the fact that our differences are great gifts in the service of continual becoming. Our practice of covenant together, my friends, invites our awakening to that connection, our living in deep curiosity, navigating this dangerous world together so that we can all come home and all can be who we are meant to be. So may it be. Amen. May we answer the call of love as our deepest act of resistance, our kindest act of courage, and our greatest act of transformation. May love hold us all until we meet again. The service begins when the service ends. Amen.
Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.